I feel like that it is, in many cases, position-based. And I used this example earlier. Guys, Xavier Watts, in 3 years, may be the best safety in the league. He's well on his way and had an incredible rookie year. And right now he's paired with Jesse Bates. We don't need a safety. But what if a safety's on the board? Is that the best player available, and do you take him? So when that is said, I get the gist of what Ian Cunningham is talking about. Because in Philly, they didn't give a damn, Mike. They stacked defensive tackles upon defensive tackles. But that was a defense that was already really good. It was like the supplementing of the pieces they were missing.
They had D-line. They still had more D-line from Georgia,
for instance.
Right.
But for us, when you say that, I'm using this and saying, okay, well, what if the safety is on the board? So projected players 44 through 50, and again, it's way early. But Ty Simpson from Alabama is one of those guys that could be projected when we pick in the second round, Mike, and if he's the best player on the board, are you taking Ty Simpson?
Well, I said to Carl, that would make for a very easy spring and summer for us if you got Michael Penix Jr. and Ty Simpson on the roster. See, that's the thing. You know, not sure. I think two things. Two things can be true.
Okay.
He does love the best athlete available. I don't think you lock into that as in concrete or stone, and you do that every time. I think you also, as a first-time general manager, start to communicate your vision. So, again, we're getting down the road here, but people go, hey, this guy's a first-time GM. What do we got on this record? Well, he says every team he's been with goes with the best athlete. So if somebody maybe wants that guy you're sitting on, let's make a deal.
Right.
So all of a sudden now we have more than just the four picks we have in this draft class.
I agree.
Because people perceive that Ian Cunningham might take a guy, even though we've already got, to your point, two dudes in that spot.
Yeah, and so it is a little bit of give and take. But I do agree with him, and I think there have been many years where we've passed on this as Falcon fans. We've wanted the best player on the board, Mike, and instead they went position-based or need, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is just taking the best dude because he makes your football team better. If that guy is the best left tackle, and even though you go, we don't need a left tackle, don't give a damn. He right. makes your football team better. You go get him. And that's where he's coming from. And I do agree with that. I think sometimes we've passed on those opportunities.
Now, you and I were talking about, it's still way too early. We'll get the combine a few weeks after the Super Bowl. And that's where things really come into focus. And who did well at the Senior Bowl. But there's just the names. And I did a bunch of mock drafts because I told you, I was so bored.
Yeah, you were
nothing
mocking.
Going on. I was cold. It was bored on Saturday. But I tell you what, you and I, there's about anybody from Texas Tech on defense I take on this team. You know,
they were stout, man.
But if there's any way, and I wonder if they look at a guy like, and we'll see how Lee Hunter does, you know, measurables at the combine. But this is like Vince Wolfork, but a little bit bigger, that kind of just perfect three technique, nose tackle, you know, just the tackle for a 3-4 that we would need.
Mm-hmm.
And then and nothing against Rook, but Rook is not validated being a top 35 pick to my money the first two seasons. First year, he missed a bunch of games. But that guy, man, there's a couple of dudes, you know, that just it would look great on our defense. And then, of course, you know, do you have to have the burner at wide receiver? Or is it a combination of, like, you got an athletic guy that just makes tough catches like Drake? Because Surratt from Indiana would be that guy. Maybe he's there in the second round, speaking of best athlete.
Look, you've got a variety of guys that fit what you're trying to do for Kevin Stefanski, and more importantly, Tommy Rees, who's going to be calling plays. And by the way, can we dispel this, too? We didn't even really talk about this yesterday. That video that came out of Bijan at the Pro Bowl.
Right.
Where he's talking, was it Christian McCaffrey, I believe he was talking to? And McCaffrey's like, yeah, you guys hire somebody? He's like, yeah, we hired Stefanski, and he's fire. And, you know, the video was out there, but the way it was chopped up, it made it sound like Bijan was saying, yeah, but he as in Tommy Rees, won't be calling plays, and that Kevin Stefanski would be. And it was a little bit confusing. Guys, that's not the case. Okay, we know what we've been told, we know what they've said, and we know Tommy Rees will be calling plays. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to, we didn't even really get a chance to talk about it, Mike, but that video was out there and people were immediately, my buddy Bean hit me up and was like, yo, it sounds like Stefanski's calling plays. It was the way the video was chopped.
Yeah. Again, guys, it's like we said, you know, if there's something out there that they can edit or chop down, like immediately as soon as, you know, Matt Ryan was asked the other day about, you know, the future, is Michael Penix your starting quarterback? Hey, that's the coach's decision. That's not a no. That's not no. That's not like Matt Ryan disavows Michael Penix Jr. No, he's hired a coach. He's going to let the coach make the decision about who's the starting quarterback. You know, it just it because the quarterback is the team and the quarterback drives the bus, it is all focus on him. And the fact that Michael Penix Jr. had to hear all this stuff, we talked about it in the first hour, he got a little bit emotional and put some stuff out there, and the grammar police are getting after and everybody else. He's a guy just standing up for him and say, look, man, I'm the starting quarterback.
Who are those people on social media to give a damn about grammar? Honestly.
Honestly?
There's so much,
nerds!
There's so much shorthand, Mike. Yes. There's so much slang.
Right.
You just gave a word last hour that half the audience didn't even know what the hell you were talking about. Like, who cares about that when the point is being made and you get what a person is trying to say on
right.
social media?
He's just a dude who's been, he feels like he's in a, like, boom, 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 boom. Like, he's a punching bag right now. And we, as fans, want to see this guy excel. I don't know anybody who's rooting against Michael Penix Jr. Hell, when he got the call he was going to be the starting quarterback, he was at Costco getting $1.50 hot dog.
Yep.
The man of the people. This dude's overcome adversity. He talks about that in his comments on Instagram. But as we said, there are two things can be true. They might look at him and say, there's a lot to overcome here with this injury. You know?
You're talking about the Falcons.
Yeah, and what are we going to do at quarterback? I mean, are they going to really bring back Kirk Cousins? I still think the odds on that are pretty long. But there is familiarity with him and the coaching staff. Is it going to be a guy? I know Stake was saying he doesn't believe in that. A guy like Flacco.
I don't believe in it.
Flacco was making the rounds, by the way, at the Super Bowl this morning.
Yeah, man.
You know, but is Flacco, who knows the system and was able to help a team that was kind of banged up at quarterback that had great defense and good run game, i.e. the Browns 2 years ago, get to the playoffs? So that could be it. And then Penix, and then Flacco's fine with, hey, man, I'll be over here smoking a cigar and you let Penix Jr. take a stab at it.
It is going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. And it's going to happen right in front of your face. As we said, all these dates. Look, the March 11th date that we just kind of hinted to, the new league year, that's going to affect the Tyler Algiers, the Kyle Pitts, Mike, if you're moving on, mm-hmm. the David Onyemata's of the world, what you're going to do with Caden Ellis if you've not made those decisions. And by the way, those decisions will be made before that, but that's when we're going to get kind of the official word, like, okay, we know for
right.
sure
and
now.
Joel Corey, the Capologist former agent, told us there was still a chance you could have, you know, Cousins could be, they could renegotiate, they could restructure, I should say, that deal again.
Yep.
It was already restructured before Terry Fontenot and the staff left. But real quick, an example of the Penix conundrum
okay.
with our fans.
Okay.
The Boogiest Bear, a nice tag on
that
Twitter.
That is.
He goes, Carl and Mike, great. Bring back Penix so he can get injured halfway through the season again. No playoffs. And bring him back again the next year to get hurt again. Just cut losses now and drop him. See, they're not going to do that because he's a first-round pick. But I will say this, if Penix Jr. does, and again, because he brought it up, I'll address it. If he gets hurt next year, he's done. He's done. They're not that they will cut bait if Penix Jr. gets hurt again. That now becomes an untenable position.
Okay, when you
him.
Say hurt, what do you mean?
Like he's
miss
gonna
a game?
Misses half the season.
Okay.
Then I think you're gone. Then I think they say, look, I'm not the GM for this. The other GM blew it. The injury history he can't escape the injuries. And again, I say this. Knock wood, that doesn't happen. Fingers crossed. But that's what a lot of people are hitting us up with. They don't believe in Penix Jr.
Yeah, but you can't, I mean, to your point, you can't predict that aspect of how the season may go. Guys, last year was a fluke injury. Did you guys see him? He didn't think he was hurt. Like, literally, it was like, I didn't even realize that my leg was hurting like that, like until he got off the field. Sometimes that stuff happens. But, Mike, you bring up a valid point, and this is why they got to cover their butt. And I say that just from an organizational standpoint. It is why the quarterback question, not for Penix and whether he can play,
right.
but what do you do just in case? What do you do with break glass just in case? I have to have a backup plan.
Well,
and we cannot, right. as a fan base, go into next season, Matt, Kevin, Ian, and not have that plan.
And that's what a couple of guys have mentioned. Boogie Bear. Mentions Carl, that we should be talking to the Texans about Davis Mills. Well, Davis Mills is the guy that I wanted to draft years ago.
He's been a quality backup.
As an heir apparent to Matt Ryan. And he started a bunch of games after Deshaun Watson went down.
Yep.
And again this year because of the issues with the quarterback and the problems that they had with injuries, again, with concussions. So it's viable. Mac Jones, you got to trade for Mac Jones. They're going to get nothing. I couldn't imagine San Francisco taking anything less than a second rounder for
well,
him.
Well, and I think Kyle has said he envisions Mac being back. He
correct.
Understands it because he knows –
yeah,
that he's got a quarterback that's injury prone.
Correct. That's why you got some good, it's reliable, you hold on to it.
Yeah.